Thank you, Chair. The apologies that I have is from the Minister and the Deputy Minister and Honorable Trollip. Ma'am November is joining us late. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Today we have a longish agenda. That's precisely the reason why there's a panic on this side. The DG is giving us a bill to put through Parliament. Geomatics professional bill. Job break. And then we have decided to prioritize the ITB because they submitted their quarterly reports, I think in November, January. So we're prioritizing them instead of sitting here and be a spectator to people talking about them. We are adopting the slogan that says nothing about them without them. We also have a set of minutes.
Chairperson of Ingonyama Transport.
Azum Shagazi, Judge Aziz Bizwa City, DG.
Oh, Dudus Shaban. Railroad Development and Land Reform.
Dumelang ke mmusho wa gariba Chief Surveyor General ko Rural Development.
Good morning, colleagues. Name is Rajan Salik, Chief Director in the Office of the Chief Surveyor General.
Good morning. I'm Dandla Mazibogo, a Director in the Office of the Chief Surveyor General.
Good morning. My name is Bronwyn Naidoo. I'm also at Rural Development and Land Reform Legislation Development.
Good morning. My name is Siyabonga Mthubeki, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, Office of the Chief Surveyor General. Thank you.
Chief, you're not doing it.
Good morning. Jan Kunya, Independent News Service.
Good morning. My name is Ralph Sibifelo, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning. I'm the acting CFO.
Morning. I'm Irene Singh, the acting CFO of Rural Development and Land Reform.
Morning. I'm Jose Masangu, the TDG Land Reform and Administration.
Good morning. I'm Vela Mugwengwe, a member of Ingonyama Transport.
Sanmanani was in Jim Kize from Ingonyama Transport.
Good morning, my name is Tim Sapapetek. I'm the support staff for the Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning, Lula Mamaja, SABC.
Good morning, Corinne Bosman, parliamentary researcher.
Good morning, Margaret Chemwai, parliamentary monitoring group.
Good morning, my name is Andy Siwe Makinana from the Mail and Guardian.
Honorable Judge, as you can see, we have very many interested parties watching over you. You have to tread carefully. DJ, we are in your hands.
Chairperson, thank you very much. The delegation of the ITP, which is a Schedule 3 public entity, and the accounting authority, insofar as the business of the board is concerned, is ably led by Judge Jerome Ngwenya, who will be presenting the performance of the court. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Judge. There's a missing part here, which I thought perhaps, if it is acceptable to the meeting, we should do. There are people who normally come, like the media people who will come here. We also had one media person, and there was an announcement early this morning that she passed on last night. I think she's a journalist from independent newspapers, is it? Am I correct, Chief?
Chair, I haven't heard anything about that.
She's from the City Press, Chair.
Excuse me?
She's from the City Press.
City Press?
Yes.
Yeah, which side is City Press? Independent?
No,
or
it's Media 24.
Media 24, yes. I thought since journalists are our partners in the work we do, we will pay our respects by observing just 1 second of silence. Pastor, is it in order? And the good judge, we go and go pastor, we go judge. Thank you very much. Can we observe? You don't have to stand up. You can bow your head.
My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. We honor you, our Father. We thank you that you are the giver of life. We thank you, my God, that you are the preserver of life. We thank you, my Father, even at this moment, as we celebrate the life of a colleague who passed on. We celebrate it because your word says, when people die, they go to sleep. And those who died in Christ, we will meet with them again. Thank you once again, Father, for giving us this opportunity. Lord God, reminding us that, Father, you are still God. We pray, therefore, for peace to all those who were touched by the person's life, for all those, my God, who have crossed the path with that person. We thank you for this opportunity that we can come and say thank you, Father. Acknowledge, Lord, that you are above everything. All power and authority belongs to you. The authorities that are ruling the land, they all bow down to you. We thank you, our God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for the opportunity presented to me. I also pray for the committee this morning. I present it into your mighty hands. Pray, Lord God, that may you take full control of this ministry, of this committee. May you sit, Father God, at the seat and be the chairperson this morning. Lead it by your power. Let it take your path. Let it be led by you, my God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless each and everybody who is here, those who have come to listen to the work that your people are doing for your land. For the Bible says, the land belongs to you, and the inhabitants are to you. We are here, Father God, to account to you, because you have trusted us to look after the land and after your people for you. Thank you, my God, that you have trusted us. Help us then, Lord God, to do a good job, so that one day when we come before the judgment seat, you will say, you look at us and say, well done, my faithful servant. We thank you, my God. We hand over this meeting to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Abulela. Her name is Mandy Rousseau. Thank you very much. Honorable Judge, we procrastinated for too long. We hand over to you.
Chairperson, members of the committee, thank you very much. We are presenting today Ingonyama Trust Board's quarterly performance of covering the space of three quarters starting from the 1st of April 2012 to 31st December 2012. I will not bore this committee with a repetition of the background and the history of how the board came about. I'm mindful of the time. I want to refer you, Chairperson, to what appears as page 4 in the hard copy, as well as page 5. Page 4, it is also reflected in the screen there, Chairperson. There are not many strategic objectives of the board, seeing that it's mainly a land owning and managing board. It would be noted that in the strategic performance under review, there are mainly two strategic objectives we look at with sub headings. That is really the mandate of the board from the legislation to administer the land and the provision of support to traditional communities arises as a result of them being the structures that are on the ground and responsible for the day-to-day allocation of land. So, under the heading administration of land, there are three performance indicators. That is the number of rights concluded. It would be noted that we put in brackets signed by both parties. We believe that when we report on targets, we report only when the documents which constitute a tenure document have been properly signed by both parties. The target set for the year is 1,031, and this is divided into 258 per quarter. It would be noted that in the first quarter, there was an underachievement, as well as in the second, as well as in the third quarter. The reason for that, Chairperson, is not that these rights have not been awarded, but they have been granted by the board, but what remains is the administrative exercise of ensuring that the occupants and therefore beneficiaries of the land have signed the document before we can file it. Hence, the lesser number than the projected target. The question would then be, how do we ensure that we meet the target? In other words, ensure that the documents are signed on time. I'm told by the Secretariat that one of the problems, because the offices of the Ingonyama Trust at this point in time are centralized and are based in Pietermaritzburg, there is a challenge on traveling for the beneficiaries to arrive on time for signature, as a result of which the Secretariat has undertaken that they would rather visit the people so that the process could be expedited. In a nutshell, that is the explanation with regards to that performance indicator. Second one, we deal with land holding register maintained on quarterly basis. The land holding register that we talk about is the one for the immovable property, which is the core business of the board. The target for the year is 4. This means that the register must be updated at least once per quarter. The question may be, what do we mean by the update of the register? In our land register, in our land holding register, we need to be sure that the land that we claim is owned by the trust is accurately reflected in the land holding register. It will also be noted that some years back, this committee once raised a question about the extent of the land and that we must have a uniform measurement system because some of the title deeds date back to 1800 and in some areas land was reflected in morgens. And in some areas, of course, in modern days, we still have one or two instances where you've got acres instead of hectares. So the uniform measurement that the board is using is hectarage. And therefore, when we do a review, is to ensure that, one, we've got the accurate land description, and number two, that we've got accurate measurement. But thirdly, to ensure that as far as possible some of the offensive names are changed in the title deeds. On that score, it will be noted that we are on target, because this is an administrative matter. It doesn't mean, though, that it is straightforward and simple, because once we have reviewed the landholding register, we must also reconcile it with the deeds office. And the third performance indicator is the number of planned land management projects. For the year, we've put a target of 5. We are also on target as far as that is concerned. It will be noted that in the first quarter there was a target of 1 land and management project, and we achieved 2. We can explain exactly what we mean by that with time permitting, Chairperson. Number of communities supported through training. I may explain again why this objective is, because we believe that communities need to be constantly capacitated to administer land consistent with the changing circumstances. We set a target of 33 for the year. We have underperformed in this instance. It would be noted that in the first quarter we set ourselves a target of 8. We could only achieve 3. And in the second quarter we set a target of 8. We could achieve 7. And then in the third quarter we set a target of 8 and achieved 2. This has exposed the shortcomings in the organization, as it would become evident when we deal with human capital, that, Chairperson, all this work is performed by a staff of less than 50. The approved organogram, when we come to that human capital, we have 27 personnel and we've got contract post of 12. But I will repeat that once we come to that slide, Chairperson, which is number 7 on your hard copy. But I was just explaining the reason for underperformance here, that there's inadequate personnel to undertake this because the traditional council are spread all over the province. If I may then proceed to income and expenditure, it would be noted that the budget for the board is split into 2. If you look at your income, it will be noted that what we mean by transfer payment, which is the third figure, transfer payment refer to the monies or income the board derives from the government. In other words, this is what it receives from Parliament. That is 18,822,999,072 cents. That is what the taxpayer contributes towards the administration of this board. Whatever else the board has come from various activities of the board, it would be noted that apart from managing land, the source of income comes, of course, from mining activities as well as non-mining activities. Non-mining activities is primarily the issuing of land tenure and the monies that get paid as a result. As far as the expenditure is concerned, we therefore indicate that for goods and services, the budget was 53 million. Of these 53 million, of the ITB's own generated fund would be 45 million, and from the transfer payment would be 7 million rand. The staff remuneration is 11 million, which is 100% funded by the government. So in a nutshell, substantial amount of the transfer, this amount of 18 million rand, go towards the staff compensation in the sum of about 11 million rand. It will be noted as well that we had a capital expenditure. We have committed 17 million out of an initial cost of about 23 million. We have already released a significant amount of money as far as that is concerned. And this really capital expenditure had to do with the construction of the new offices of the ITB. And the human capital report, Chairperson, as I indicated, the approved posters per organogram are 27. And these posts, it would be noted that from April to June, there were only 3 vacancies. And then in September, there was only 1 vacancy. And in the third quarter, there were 2 vacancies because of a staff member that left. We have been compelled, because it takes time to have a new organogram approved, to appoint people on contract basis. It would be noted that up to June, there were 12 people on contract. Up to September, there were 13. And by the end of December, there were 14 contracted employees. The next slide, which is page 8, talks to disbursement to traditional councils. There are about more than these traditional councils. In fact, there are about 241. At this stage, we give an up-to-date disbursement to these traditional councils. And I will give a narrative of what this amount was for. But mainly, it goes towards the bursaries as well as vehicles for the communities which are used by traditional leaders and their council, and in some few instances, the assistance towards the construction of a dwelling for the leader of that community. And that is always first approved by the council itself, not that the traditional leader approaches the board directly, but this is, goes via council. A simple example would be on page 9, whereby you'd note that initially this was the complete home of the Inkosi concern, and when he took office, he needed an additional home because this was a family home where his late brother also resided, this being one of the younger brothers who was then taking office, made a request which was supported by the clan as well as the traditional council, and the completed house is now what is appearing in the second photo. It will also be noted that the same traditional council, we have not given all the students, but we have given an indication of the amount that had been paid up to the end of the quarter we're referring to. We have noted when awarding bursaries that one of the challenges facing students is just access to university, which is in the form of registration and accommodation, especially during the first year. And some of them get the NSFAS grant and thereafter do not approach the board, but then that gives opportunity to other students in the area. That is the same. We have just given this breakdown per the thesis which were given this assistance. You would see that this is the Zungu Traditional Council. The next one is the Dembe Traditional Council. And there are others as well. Chairperson, I think that has to do with the performance as set out in the strategic objective and the performance indicators. I may just indicate the office, how it looks like. It's there on page 14. But on page 15, Chairperson, it's just an illustration. What do we mean by our performance indicator when we say on page 5, for instance, number 3, number of planned land management projects. We can read that together with page 15. Land plan management project entails a situation where the board, together with the traditional council in place, identify a piece of land, and together with the municipality, the land is planned and developed. What we reflect on page 15, for instance, is what we call Mpumalanga Town Extension, which is in Hammerstead. Behind this huge building is the existing township, but it would be noted that the piece of land that we then see with greens and purple is the ITV land, which together with the traditional council concerned, the Embo Traditional Council, Etegwini Municipality, the Provincial Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, as well as the National Treasurer. This piece of land was planned. The various government entities I referred to have helped to develop an infrastructure, and the piece of land was divided into three phases. The first phase, the one with blue, is a new shopping center, which is at a completion stage, will be operational from April 2013 as I speak. The next phase with big blocks, blue and purple, are the government and municipal infrastructure. As we are currently talking, there will be a sword turning ceremony this Friday, the 15th, with the mayor of Etegwini. And then what you see in yellow is both on the extreme of the side, is a proposed housing development for the people, which will contribute towards access to housing. That is just an illustration, Chairperson, of what we mean by when we elaborate on these performance indicators. I'm not sure at this stage whether, Chairperson, there are any questions, because mainly whatever comes after this are further progress, but not in fact covered in our strategic plan. But it's, when we talk about strategic partnership, is to illustrate that on land that is owned by the board, we form partnerships with various organizations who ultimately help based on their skills. Like on page 17, we talk about Tonga Hewlett, which is the second private or single entity that owns the largest piece of land in the province. It has skills in real estate development as well as sugarcane plantation. We have recently signed an agreement with them where they are developing sugarcane growers. Itala is a development corporation whereby we enter into a strategic partnership with them so that people could have access to finance, be it on agriculture or be it on housing in rural areas. And on page 16, it will be noted that this is one of the mining houses on Ingonyama land in the province. It is under Zululand District Municipality. It is the one where the four traditional councils I spent time on earlier on are based, and in fact it is their land. Jointly with us, they also provide the assistance for community gardens, as is evident on the photos on page 18. On page 19, this is just a typical rural town. But again, this helps to illustrate a few things, Chairperson. would be noted that we make reference to race issue, but we do not need to go to that at this stage. I think for now, Chairperson, I wish to end my performance report and take questions where necessary. Thank you.
Honorable Judge, thank you very much. DG? Thank you, DG. Honorable members, there is an opportunity for questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Judge, for the presentation. Chairperson, when one looks at, I'm mainly focusing on the house that was built for Ngozi, and one just to find out, according to the culture of the Zulu nation, a son does not reside in his father's house, maybe when succeeding the post. Are we going to be shown, maybe in the near future, when maybe Inkosi passes on, that Ingonyama Trust will spend another sum building a house for the successor to the throne? If one may get clarity on that one, because in my understanding, I would be Chairperson that maybe if Inkosi is given what I would call a subsidy of a certain amount, rather than spending so much building such a big house for a person, in my view, would be sort of a waste of developmental funds, which are meant for the development of the community rather than that individual. I'm not against the houses as such, but the money spent and the size of the house that is being built just for a leader who is there for a certain period of time until God calls him. Chairperson, again, in Judge's presentation, he meant the board has contracted some people to do the job for the board. I wonder if I may have heard it clearly. What hinders the board just to get people appointed fully to serve as staff rather than outsourcing, if I may say, or contracting those people to do the job for the time being? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I will start with what my colleague next to me has just mentioned. I believe this money is supposed to be benefited by the members of the community, not individuals. This is really unfair. You have created a precedent. I don't believe we will be able to sustain. If you will be sustaining it, I think now you have derailed your mission to change the lives of the communities that fall under Ingonyama Trust. Treasure leaders, I'm one of them. If the money that is being paid to them by the government is enough, we must fight. That is another battle to be fought, not to use the money that is supposed to change lives of the communities to build houses for individuals. Such an expensive house, I don't think really that is the right thing to be done. My other question, Honorable Chairperson, I want to find out from the judge, what influences the trust to set a target? I am really concerned about the number of the Treasury Councils you have set yourselves a target to train. So you have trained 12 out of 33. That is not even half of your target. What influences you to choose a target? Because we are here now to oversee you based on your strategic plan. And I understand this number of 33 was no strategic plan. So you have not yet even achieved half of that. And I believe I am not convinced by the reason that the staff is not enough. because you set this target, knowing very well the equivalent of your staff. Let me stop there, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me appreciate the presentation by the judge. I've got only a few clarity-seeking questions. While the judge was presenting, there was an indication that you underperform in some of the targets that you have set for yourself because of the shortage of personnel. Can I just get an indication what plans have been put in place to make sure that you have sufficient personnel to execute the mandate of the IGP? Chair, on the issue of the bursaries, bursaries, dwellings, and also the vehicles, do we have any policy in place that if a traditional council requests a funding, maybe for a dwelling, we allocate them up to this amount? And what are the processes that are supposed to be followed? Do we have any policy, or we're just doing it randomly? Then, on the issue of the bursaries, which skills is the IGP in need of? For instance, the Department of Social Services usually finance all those who are doing the social services stream so that they can be able to absorb them. So what skills do we need in the ITB? Because it seems as if we finance each and every stream. That is number one. Number two, the amount that you are paying because it's different. Somewhere you pay 10,000, 6,000. What is it that it covers? Because universities are very much expensive. Are you covering the registration only? If you're covering the registration only, what about the tuition? Because we're talking about the learners who are coming from the previously disadvantaged communities. So if you're paying 10,000, what is this 10,000 for? It's for registration. Then after registering, then what happened? On the issue of the house, I think my colleagues have raised the share because really they have created a precedent. Just to find out on the size of this house, when was this project started? When was it completed? Is there any value for money on this amount that we have paid? Who was responsible for the monitoring and supervision of this project? Are we going to be able to sustain it when other traditional councils request the construction of the dwellings for their chiefs or whosoever? Then the last one, the partnership that you have with the Zululand and Trafite, seeing women which spinach and whatever, is there any market? You find them maybe to start these vegetable gardens. You assist them to get markets so that at the end of the day, you know, the economy of that area is being improved. I understand maybe that they get the support from the local people, but any engagement with DTI, the Department of Education, so that those schools who are providing this school nutrition program can be able to support them. Thank you, Chair. The Itala, the partnership that you are having with Itala, you are saying that you are assisting people to access the bonds. Is there any subsidy that you are providing to these people? Are they able to repay the bonds after accessing them? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. apologize for coming late that on another meeting. I wish just to comment, not question. Although I came late, but the way I find the judge presenting. My colleagues have mentioned about that house and also about the bursaries, the skills the tribal authorities or traditional council needs. In fact, we have our own culture, chairperson, as we people from Africa can be a judge, can be a teacher, can be a lawyer, but when you are being appointed by your tribal authority to be a chief, you have to vacate those what you were doing and then becoming the property of your tribal authority. Not going to get any money where you are working, but the tribal authority must maintain you. First thing you need is the accommodation, suitable accommodation for a leader for that particular tribe. It can, as you see those two photos there, look the old one, look the new one. We upgrade the standard of living as we are now. So I cannot say that maybe is a bad idea what the Ngonyama board has done for that tribal authority, because nobody can make the state out of that particular shift to be respected rather than his tribal authority. What is the critical issue here is that each and every chief who is appointed after the late one cannot live in his father's property. The father's property is the property of the other children or the family, but not for the heir. The heir must have his own new residence. That is what is happening. Regarding the bursaries, I have seen at page 8 that there are many traditional council which got this investment. Coming to the bursary, only you find that it's only Zungu and Tembe. But what about these others? I think the most skill we need, each traditional council, they have their own piece of land that need to be cultivated. A leader or a nkosi must make his people to live on soil that they have. They must plow, they must do this. If he has enough money, he should even provide with these tractors, with the seeds and so on to help his tribal authority. But I think the skill we need most, more than anything, is to get these agricultural officers among our people to start, because the land is there. They need to produce something to assist. Hey, going to these community gardens, I once had a complaint from Mlaba people at Jumelwana, where the dumping site for coal from Okuko mine is. You know, the people around there, they are worried about the dust that comes out from the coal that covers the KPC when they are going up there. When then they get right inside the KPC, when you cut them, you find that this is a lot of dust inside, of course. What the Ngonyama is doing to assist those people. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, if we can start on page 5. There was an explanation why the target wasn't met. To me, the problem is if the target wasn't met with the reasons for quarter one, then it must flow over to quarter two that you reach the beneficiaries, you reach the people that must sign. So actually, the ones which was missed in the first quarter must be done in the second quarter. Then there must be an increase. So to me, to say there's a shortfall or target which wasn't met in the first quarter, 16, the second quarter almost 100, the third quarter, when is it going to catch up? Or are they going to start with going to the people that must sign only the next year or in the fourth quarter, which isn't part of program? So the explanation isn't clear to me how it can be that the beneficiaries couldn't be reached to sign the documents. You must get the second quarter or the next quarter to those people, or the third quarter or the fourth quarter. So where will we get the get up of those shortfalls? Because it seems in the explanation that it was done and it's only the signature which is the shortfall. With the fourth one, the explanation of inadequate personnel training to traditional councils. As my fellow colleague said, it's not on the target which was set, or on the diagram where you show 27 approved establishment 27. It means that you will be able to do what you've got on your target with that 27. The shortfall is a mere 312. So it's not a vast difference with the adding of the additional post or the temporary post. So I can't foresee why there's such a big difference in reaching your targets. Income and expenditure is really a problem also. If you look at the budget amount and the percentage in income which was obtained, 25%, 63%, only the transfers from government is actually in par, more or less in par for three quarters. But the other two, how was it budgeted so over budgeted, where you only got 25% and 63%? Payments, the same you can see there, budgeted amounts to actual percentage payment, 24%, 17%, 60%. Only the transfer from payments is in line, 66%. With capital and commitments, there's also 7% target, or 7%, which was done, and 56%. With my fellow colleagues spoke on this in Nkosi Zunga residence. Now, if you look on the disbursement to Zunga, 389, but this house was 705,000 completed. The difference from where? Was it from which funds? And then the disbursement for the bursary portion is 160,000. So the bursary portion is 160,000. The house is 705,000. The total amount disbursement to the traditional council is 389,000. So there's question marks to me. I would like to ask the Ingonyama Trust Board, how far is it with the problems they've got with Etiquini, the rates question? How far are they with that problem? What do they do with the illegal occupation of land? What plans do you have in place with that? Because it's part of your program or your presentation. So, Mr. Chair, for now, I'll stick to those questions or those uncertainties.
Mama Kong.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, I don't know, maybe is a question on clarity because I was a little bit confused when I see this after and before, but Baba Umtwana, Honorable Zulu, he tried to clarify and now I'm trying to understand, but my question is it, because in KwaZulu Natal we have so many chiefs and all chiefs are under Ingonyama. I want to know, all chiefs, they will be builded this house, or the certain chiefs that must build the high-profile houses. Because even us, in Singa, we have this incident of being lost our chief, Ubaba Ungozaka Kokobi, last year. He passed, while he chief, he doesn't pass away, but he passed away last year. He left his son, which Utaba Mthembu. I want to know, the Ngonyama, he will come and build Utaba Mthembu house, a new house, because he's still in his father's place, as I'm speaking to you now. I want to know that. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. And I would also like to appreciate the reporting. But Chairperson, firstly, I would like to request a breakdown of the salaries of the IETB staff. And the second thing is that
a breakdown
so that we know the amount that they are getting is equal to this amount that is indicated here on the slide. The second one is on targets. My understanding, if I'm correct, is to say that if there's a shortage of staff, and then we contract others, those people will be able to enable us to reach our targets. So if they are contracted and they leave and we have not as yet reached our target, why do we have to contract them? That's my question. And the other issue is on monitoring of the learners who were awarded bursaries. Are you getting value for money for giving this deserving student bursaries? And in the process, we know that there are those that are falling off. What is it that we are doing with those that are falling off? Are we able to recoup the money that we have given the students? Or what is the process? Is it to say that, no, they've failed and there's nothing that can be done? And those that are succeeding, are we able to monitor them correctly? What is their progress? What are they doing presently? Also, if you can be enlightened as to their situation presently, those that have succeeded and those that have not succeeded, and those that have not succeeded, what is it that we are doing about them? Thank you, Chairperson.
Is Mamungu and Yamabila and the second bite Yaku?
Chair, second bite on this capital expenditure. Can we get a breakdown? Which, how much was used for this project? How much was used for this project? Because when looking at the table, it's not clear. It's just figures, except the one on this housing project. Then the second one, Chair, on the dwellings, if there are any other houses that have been built, can you just get also an indication where, for which tribal council, at what cost? Because here we're talking about money, Chair. We need to be very, very careful. The vehicles, on the vehicles, how many were bought? Type, the model, at what cost? So that we are clear, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that the money that has been requested to Parliament has been used for this and that. We need to be able to account. And also on the bursaries, Chair, when looking at other names, Bopumlani, Bo Peacemaker, Nobupiwa, it's not clear. Can you just get the name of the student, the institution, and also the cost? Because some names are just hanging in the air. There are no surnames, as I've indicated, Bopumlani, Bo Peacemaker, Nobupiwa. There was this, Chair, there was this hanging issue of the service provider which was paid to write a history on the Zulu culture. Can you just get the progress report? Because that service provider was paid and the work was not finished. What is the progress up to date with regards to that matter?
Now, on this one, Chairperson, the judge in his presentation mentioned the number of tribal leaders in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. If I may find out from the judge, does the number or that figure that is given us include those tribal leaders who are landless in the province? One. Two, does it again include number of tribal leaders who have been brought into KZN from the Eastern Cape, if I may find it, because I understand they are the demarcation has extended the boundaries of KZN to a certain portion of Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Now better.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the questions. Chairperson, maybe I should start with the last question of Nkosi Tebekulu before I follow the sequence in a particular order. Our mandate is around land, and therefore a landless Inkosi will automatically fall outside Ngonyama's area of jurisdiction because we manage land that is registered in the name of the board or land which we have been given authority by the registered landowner, which invariably would be the minister. With regards to Umzimkulu, for instance, we are not yet managing that piece of land until such time that the minister makes a firm decision on that. Therefore, the 241 traditional council I referred to, a traditional council whose land the Ngonyama Trust board is mandated by legislation to administer. And I need also, Chairperson and honorable members at this stage, to emphasize what our Act says. It says we shall administer land for the material well benefit of the people, and they are listed. And that is what we've been following for a long time. But then maybe let me come to the first question, which was raised by Inkosi Perekulu and Inkosi Fagu about the homestead or not of Inkosi. Firstly, it is correct that if Ingonyama Trust Board were to build each and every Inkosi house, that would be unsustainable. And that is not the intention of the board. Now, what is then the way forward as far as that is concerned? Firstly, let me also admit, Chairperson, that it is indeed customary that the successor to the title of a traditional leader does not occupy the house which his predecessor or her predecessor occupied. He or she would need to establish his or her own homestead. But what has happened for centuries is that people who live under indigenous land title, firstly, it is unwritten, it is oral, and secondly, there is no economic value that has been attributed to this land. So what Ingonyama Trust has embarked on over the last many years was to change the mindset, firstly, to attribute an economic value on land, firstly by following the Constitution in terms of strengthening the rights of those who are vulnerable by issuing out an instrument which is in the form of a lease. And that instrument, it has taken us time to convince financial institutions that it is acceptable as an instrument against which monies can be given to people. It is for that reason that we say, among others, we've got a partnership with Itala so that future requests by traditional leaders or anybody else will be based on the fact that that person has got access to land and has got an instrument that is acceptable to an institution, and therefore the institution will be able to advance money directly to that future Inkosi without coming to Ingonyama Trust. That is one reason why Itala, we are currently finalizing discussion around that, so that irrespective of the number, what would be important is the extent to which they could advance money for a traditional leader to build a homestead. We believe that, based, of course, on experience, that a dysfunctional traditional council is meaningless. It happens in many respects, and hence the question of training, and hence the question of a positive response when this request was made, that a house be built. At that time, there were no mechanism with Itala, and we hope it will take some time before we test that scheme which we are negotiating with Itala. But yes, certainly it is not necessarily a precedent that we believe will be carried forward, and we believe we've got sufficient justification not only of building that house but also of being able to show that the alternative would be for Inkosi to approach Itala or any financial institution for that matter to bond is my bond. A related question to this was asked by Ms. Ngwenya Mabila whether there are any other homesteads that we have helped to construct, and if so, the details and the nature thereof. I'll answer this question as follows, that yes, there are two or three rather forms of response or request that I can think of. If I am incorrect with my figures, I will ask that we provide additional information in writing. But one that comes to mind is that Inkosi Tembe requested an assistance when he had built his house halfway and he could no longer proceed, and requested that his traditional council, unless it support the request, we would be unable to help. And I think the contribution towards completion of that house was in the region of about 500,000 rand. There are two more other traditional leaders that have requested assistance, and that is currently under review. And if I may also indicate, how do we determine this money, and why do we say yes or no? It will be noted, for instance, that Inkosi Zungu is one of the traditional council where Zululand Anthracite Colliery is operating. Most of the income that the ITB derives from ZAC, because that's what we briefly call Zululand Anthracite Colliery, in the strict sense should be used for the material well benefit of these four traditional councils, which is Mandlakazi, Mateni, Zungu, and Mlaba. So before we could say yes or no, we test whether do we have money derived from the activities on land from that particular traditional council. And also we are mindful that monies that are used for the assistance of the traditional leader are not higher than the whole amount that is available for development or contribution towards that traditional council. We are satisfied with the Zulu Traditional Council that notwithstanding the amount of 700,000 and odd rand that was spent, there remains adequate amount, more than that amount, for community projects. What normally happens is that the ITB does not decide on its own. There are checks and balances of how monies that have been set aside for traditional council are distributed to them. Firstly, it is their participation. They provide a business plan together with a resolution that from the amount that you have set aside, this is what we intend doing. It could be a water catchment, it could be a community center, it could be a vehicle for the traditional leader. It's not a sole decision of Ngonyama Transport. It comes from them. It is therefore for that reason that even with bursaries that appear there, Chairperson, these bursaries we do not decide on our own. You would see that they refer to Zoom, they refer to Mlaba, for instance. It's because when that traditional council sit and deliberate, they say one of our critical needs is that we want the following students to go to university or tertiary institution. We believe it's in their interest that they make the decision. We cannot all the time make the decision for them. And therefore, these are their own decisions. These are not necessarily linked to ITB requirements in terms of skills. That is how this comes about. And it is for that reason that you would, in some instances, not see a number of TCs, because some of them do not have as much money as where there are mining activities like within those four TCs. For instance, one of the adjacent TCs is the one that where the king is also the chair of the TC. It doesn't get money from here because we believe that the mining activities are outside it, although it's adjacent. That is how we approach these matters. So the other question was that by Nkosi Qebekhulu related to the contracted employees. These are not consultants. I think I just need to clarify that. These are people employed on contract basis because there are currently no posts in the establishment that are approved. They are not consultants. They are appointed either for 1 year or for 2 years, but to help complement the existing staff. The other question by Nkosi Faru was, what influences the trust to set target? Chairperson and honorable members, I think whenever one sets out a business plan, you set up the business plan or budget on the basis of what would normally happen for you to execute your functions. It would be noted, for instance, that when we were doing all this planning, at the same time, the offices of Ingonyama Trust were under construction. And therefore, why I say this is because the question of determining the appropriate staff is still taking place right now, because I'm not aware even of a district office that could execute the functions that are currently executed by Ingonyama Trust with the number of people that we have. In fact, for us to meet our mandate honestly, we need more than three times the current staff that we have. These functions were executed by not only one department in the erstwhile Wazulu government, but by three government departments. So for us, we believe that we are pushing people to the limit. Hence, the question of what influences the setting of target is based, Chairperson, on the following. One, on the budget that is available, on the personnel that is available, without, of course, factoring that people may leave midstream and start taking new people, or that you may shuffle people in the process. That is essentially the issue. But it doesn't mean, Chairperson, that it is therefore correct not to meet the target. We are not saying that. We are not justifying that. Once you set a target, you are making a commitment. You should go all the way and meet that target. So the question is fair to say, will this go on and on like this without us accomplishing it? Let me put it this way, Chairperson. We don't, as a board, realize immediately that the target has not been met. We don't do those reviews immediately so that we can have a catch-up in the next quarter. That is the reason why we caught up with this when we're doing a consolidated report. And only then do we then say to management, look, you did not meet the targets. We want now a remedial action. I cannot say today with an honest face that we have set up a remedial action. We have only detected the underperformance, and we want to take appropriate action once we sit down with the staff to discover exactly where these problems are and how best we can achieve that so that we don't come and report underperformance. We admit that there we have failed, but we do not say that we're justified in doing that. This also answers the question in terms of when do we have plans or what plans do we have to have sufficient personnel. That I can say as we currently speak. We currently are in discussion with the department with a new organogram. Number two, we have just signed a lease for a decentralized function in one district, which is Zululand, for an office there. Again, until the organogram is approved, we'll be appointing people on contract. But we've realized that irrespective of how our organogram would look like, unless we've got district offices closer to people, we'll still fall short on discharging on these mandates. The question by Ms. Ngwenya Mabila about bursaries and whether we have got policies and what do we need. If I may say, like I've explained earlier, what we pay and what we pay for, because that's a breakdown she wanted, this is based on the request that comes to us via the traditional council, in as much as these names come from the traditional council, who do the interviews and everything else. Our arrangement with them is that we pay the institution where the learner is attending. So these payments are based on what the institution say we must pay. We don't look whether they've got pocket money or where they reside. For instance, like the 10,000 rand is for registration and tuition fees, and this is the amount which we are requested by TCs to pay, and we do just that. Regarding the skills, ma'am, which the ITB requires, this is independent of whether we give bursaries or not. I'm not in a position to give a complete answer today. We can do so once we're verified with the organogram, which we are currently drawing, but we hope we'll be able to file that with our last quarter report to set out the breakdown. My apologies then with regards to the details you wanted with regards to students, the institution, and the courses attended. I thought there was an annex here. In this presentation, I think it comes from just after the last page with the narrative. It says disbursement to traditional council. And then, because I think that's what the chair asked, we must give disbursement that we've made and the balances that sits. And I think one of the annexes there where we say, list of bursary payments. We have the name, we have the qualification, we've got the amount paid. We've got the name of the institution, like the Zungu TC. For instance, we've got Durban University of Technology, we've got University of Zululand, and I think the last one, we've got the University of Witwatersrand. I'm not sure whether all the details are complete, but it's in the page. I know that these pages have not been numbered properly, but in this presentation, we go up to page 21. Thereafter, you've got another page which starts again with contents and so on. It's at the end of that page, there is a blue page, and then thereafter there is a list of the disbursements. What I would do, Chairperson, with your permission to move forward, I'll request my colleagues from the Secretariat to help members to open exactly those pages so that they could have sight of them.
I want to make a different request to Honorable Judge.
Yes.
The matter of these bursaries is more than just money and names.
Yes.
And institutions. It's the whole management. It's a strategy to manage the whole process.
Yes.
And I think Ms. Wanya Mabila, the CJ, Chief Surveyor General behind you, and his colleagues, they know how we deal with this particular matter. It's an important matter because we know that you collect money from each regional authority, and that in terms of your commitment, you disperse 90% of the money back into that community via projects to develop that community. We know that that is what you said. What perhaps is an important matter is that this is a project of that particular community. And when you talk about what projects you do in each in every community, this must be part of those projects you do. But then you go beyond that by saying the community is targeting this. You see, because is that some students come to them and request money to study surveying. When they get to the institution, they discover that surveying in the head and surveying in the institution are two different things. So they change and do something else, maybe a diploma or a certificate, perhaps en route to surveying. But others, they step off. So what we are talking about, therefore, is ITB assisting tribal authorities or traditional councils to have a contractual relationship between a student and a TC, and managing the relationship between the student in that institution and the TC. So that that is why they ask the question about the value for money. So that those students that step off from the institution, they can be held accountable on the basis of the contract between that student and the TC. Because it will then be regarded as money wasted from your side. Remember that when you collect the money, it's now yours. It's already regarded as your money. So when it is spent, you have to be the one accounting for it. So for us, it's not enough to say, we paid a registration for a student. We want to know whether the student pursued that career chosen and achieved the objective. Then your money has achieved the objective deployed for. That is the basis we're asking these questions. And then you do that throughout all the traditional councils that you deploy your money. It will help us a great deal, but it will help you at the end as well. You may delegate this responsibility to the TC that has the capacity to do so. In your training, you can include project management, which will include how you manage the relationship with the students in the institution. Thank you, Chief. I note you want to react to this. I'm trying to make sure that when you come back on the second quarter, you have a project list and with the indication of all these projects on the side. You wanted to react to that, Chief.
Just to thank the committee for the leadership there, because to the extent that this is explained, we don't go that far. But we admit openly that that would be useful not only to the committee but even to ourselves. We would have to go back and design a system where all the issues that have been raised are covered.
You go back to the other point as well. Unless honourable members need to pursue this thing, because I thought that on the fourth quarter they will bring this report, which will cover all the projects, including the bazaars and so on. Let's go back to the houses issue, because it's a thorny issue, this thing of houses.
Yes, Chairperson, let me be quick with regards to, there was a question about the partnership, community-based table gardens and so on. Yes, at least there, I can say, Chairperson, Zach, that is Zulu and Arthurside Colliery, in fact, undertook to be the first market as far as all the pages that are generated in its area. For the mine,
kitchen. We have now generalized them under the category that says each traditional council, how many projects, these are the kinds of things that we are targeting to achieve there, and these are the outcomes so far, and which is the way forward. So you have individualized the traditional council and their list of projects and the approach to managing those projects. So you don't have to deal with individual projects now. For instance, you have your shopping center, you have your anthracite vegetable gardens, you have got bursaries, you have got the houses. But I want
us to conclude on the issue of houses, Honorable Judge, in this way. One, there has to be a policy that the ITB establishes on how you assist traditional councils to build their traditional regional houses. If you do not have that policy, you are going to get yourself into a serious dispute, because one will accuse you of favoritism when in fact it is done in good intention. And Honorable Trolley always says the road to hell is full of good intentions. And I don't want him to use that on you. So the policy will then say, what is the nature of the assistance you provide? Whether it's a fixed amount, or whether it's a loan, or whether it's building the whole house. And then you address your own point, Honorable Judge, the sustainability part. If you say no, it's not sustainable, but they bring us more money, therefore we build them the houses using their own money, then the next question from Ngosufa will be, but the money is meant to develop the community, not the individual. So even if you get more money from that community and you think it's enough money to build a house and do projects, you can do more projects if you didn't build a house. So that the traditional councils go and raise money from Itala, because that money now belongs to the traditional council. It belongs, it's a property of the people. It's not the property of that one chief. It will help us a great deal, Ngosiam, if you have a standardized approach, and then you bring that in as part of your fourth quarter report. The last thing, really, because we are interested in following up on the training. It's not the last one, because the last one is going to be the book. That albatross around your neck, the book and the rates, yes, those two. But the most important one in this area is training. Capacity building is an important matter for us, because then things change. As things change, the traditional councils, I remember that was the matter that traumatized me more when we visited Mkabab, when he showed us the legal lacuna, if I may use that word, because I'm not a legal person, that has been created by that permission to occupy to the Shell service station. Unless the law changes, you are stuck with that contract. But if the law of the land changes to cover everybody, not only KZN, then the permission to occupy, unless you create unworkability conditions for the business, that will then allow or force the business to react differently. For now, they are very comfortable with their permission to occupy. They would not want to translate it into a lease, because it means they're reducing the bottom line. For the benefit of the media people. Yeah, because the media people, they don't write necessarily all the time when we know that business people are creating a problem for communities, taking advantage of their good heart. Bye. basikele inciwa ushe apha emgaba abaxa uphuma eThekwini uzizanganelo esepsto macala omabili ka-N2 ngapha nangapha ukhiqiza imali ushell ubhatala only imali lingenyanga 43 rand a year, not even a month. 43 rand for ukusetyenziswa kwalamhlaba wenkosi. Now the legal problem is that a permission to occupy is in perpetuity until you make it unworkable, like when your business person who has been given that piece of land has created conditions that makes that business person unacceptable to live in this particular community. Then you can then take your land back. If the community sees that business person to be providing a service, you continue to pay 43 rand a year.
I'm sorry, it's 48
rand. Yeah, that was what we were told, and I thought you revised the figure down. Now, ITB is in a serious legal problem because they are currently changing permission to occupy for any income-generating facility on the land of ITB from permission to occupy to leases, so that there should be an income for that community. But in this particular case, Shell is digging her heels and saying, I have been given this piece of land in perpetuity. It's not an optional thing for you to change. It was my option to change. Not until the land, the law of the country changes, that matter is still in that same condition. And the traditional leader of the area cannot even appeal to ITB or ISILO, unless ISILO goes to the headquarters of Shell and say, on my land, I've given you hospitality, you are abusing it. Perhaps the ITB can approach ISILO to approach Shell directly, because Shell has got troubles all over the world, and they are also wanting to frack shale gas at in Karoo, so they want their face to have some sparkles. We need to learn the fact of sparkles. O shell of una barobu sobne komkom ukwenzela ufumane shell gas yethu pa eKaro. So it's not in a lunga elcebo. Ngiyazi ba no president angayenza xa inocelwa ayenze lento. Inkosi yona ufuneka nje incede silibhalele iletter. Icela uncedo kuni. Nithathe la letter nina ni approach silo. Ya silo singa approach ne president ngokwaso kanye benini. Kodwa balekile into ba. Because it is discriminatory practice into ba ushela fumane that aba bantu basemgaba abana sibona mase zazindlu nkosi yami ezazipha babhatala ilisi bona and azikhiqize izindlu zabo zizohlala iyakhiqiza la property kashela. Masibuyeleke nkosi yami kule nto besithetha ngayo, because ndinexhala lokuba hleze sihlale kakhulu apha uDG adapelile uDG acomplain uba simgcina gqithi avekapha ufuna usebenza ofisi yakusepidura ikokapha. I-training kosi yam should be reviewed, like you said, on the basis of the demands of the circumstances under which the traditional council is operating. You said dysfunctionality is one of the problems, but even those that are functional, they may be functional only because they've got one person who's the leader, who's in charge of everything. So as we continue to democratize tenure on land, we must also train the traditional councils not only to democratize their operations, but also to look out for these pitfalls that they create for the community. Because Shell may not be the only customer of the traditional councils that have created this problem. There may be others beyond which the traditional councils are unable to get out of. So, starting point, and there are many players in the field of training in Gosiam. You have your higher education department that has got facilities. You also have your COCTA. What is the CETA from COCTA? What's it called? Local government CETA. Huh? And he has, I come to ask you. Did you call on a microphone? I asked a microphone. Let's see the local government. They have courses tailor-made for traditional leaders. They may be tweaked to suit the conditions under which you operate. But it's an important matter because who is pensing as a we don't need town planner, who is professional, don't need that. A qualification becomes pensing. Town planner, how you do? Real estate. Usenonga kwazi utraina into zinokwenza ne real estate for the traditional councils. It may not also be her job to do so. But it may be necessary for inkosi xa isika inxiwa. Besinenye inkosi apha sayibuza uba yenza njani yona. Kwezihlala inkosi uMandela lo bathembi. Xa nisika umhlaba kukho umthetho wosika umhlaba. Inkosi ezininzi azusebenzisi laa mthetho osika umhlaba. Lo wonika amanxiwa azusebenzisi laa mthetho. Urhulumente uthatha isigqibo sokuza uenforce ngokuba umhlaba usetyenziswe laa mthetho xa usabe umhlaba. Ingxaki yaloo nto yile buyitsho yokuthi i-verbal la process yosika amanxiwa. Nantsi le ndawo yayimxakile uwula. Ndiyacela uxolo sinkosi sam bandinile wasa ngeli hlobo. Bendifuna bamke noko babuya kule fourth quarter besiphathele imicimbi ecwangcisiweyo. Ukwenzela bezi target benizikweshina zibe structured. Kuyabuzwa phaa uba umthetho uthi 50% plus one of homesteads okanye kunitiniso households ezilapha kulo mhlaba kafaku. Xa kuzawuba kumhlaba ozawunikezelwa for i-shopping center to a particular developer, funeka ziyiendose le nto, not 50% yaba bantu bebekhona komkhulu ngalamini. 50% of the households kulo mhlaba kafaku mazibe zikhona zivume ukuba manikezwe la mhlaba belusetyenziswa sithi usetyenziswe yile developer on our behalf, sifumane umkhiqizo in terms of i-lease. Iyabhalwa ke mosi ngoku le nto isuke pha kuthiwa intonile induna ize inkosi iye phezulu ithi izofika kuni. Akukho zirecords kwiindawo ezininzi njengoba nani nizibhaqele. Kuthiwa ke ngoku mayilungiswe le nto kuzoba kwirecords. Bendibawela ke although ndiyingene nge-training kodwa i-connected into yoba xa kusabiwe inxiwa kufuneka ube kwi-records itrayinwe ke zonke i-TCs ukwazi uyenza loo nto ukwenzela uba ngomso singathi sicakanina sijaji uba ningathini unikezela ngomhlaba ngolu hlobo abantwana bethu bazawushiyeka nantoni. Ungaya ke ngosiyam kwezinto zimbini ishiyekileyo i-rates nencwadi unless ikhona the members want to raise a point that I may be leaving behind. Nothing. Oscar Gunda Wule.
Thank you, Chairperson. We did report, it's somewhere in writing in this report, but I can just repeat. The matter of the researcher who was supposed to write a book on Zulu history, we are just awaiting a court date. There was initially a delay because we had to trace where she was. We discovered that she's employed by the Department of Education in Limpopo, and thereafter then she was served with the necessary court papers. We would await then the court date. matter of rates, although the king extended an olive branch to say we must discuss it outside court, Etegwini municipality felt it was too important that they took it to constitutional court. It was argued on the 12th of February in the constitutional court, and judgment was reserved, and we await judgment at any time from now. Thank you, Chair.
Siyabule, DG. Sincoma intoba i-ITP yenza laa nto besiyixoxa leve phele kuya kumuntu. Apha besixoxa ngosiyam uba ukuqesha umntu uthi makwekwenzela into akayenza, wambhatala wahamba, uthathe omnye umbhatale naye akwenzele laa nto ingenziwanga ngulo wabo. Auditor General uthi wasteful and fruitless expenditure. Nina nisikhupha kuloo ngxaki, sibulela nje loo nto. Alright, DG, sisezandleni zakho ngoba ngathi umcimbi wethu ne-ITP ugqityiwe. Une-closing remarks on the matter? Ayingomcimbi ufuna usondela kuwo tolofiya. Kucelwa i-comfort break, sike siphole kwelanga sikulo. Uphila ubano sicelela indawo.